You know, I'm kind of getting bored of my own bullshit. I'm going to shut up for now about my struggles and whatnot. Maybe at some point I won't be able to keep this podcast going, but for now I'm going to keep trying. I do this podcast to give me some motivation and to do something creative-ish. And I also do it for my mom, though my mom often falls asleep while listening. Sometimes my mom will call me and say, "Oh, there was a really good part on your podcast." And I'd be like, "Oh, what is it?" She's like, "Oh, I fell asleep. I can't remember." So if nothing else, maybe I've found the cure for insomnia. But really, I do the podcast to encourage others to dream. And I hope people listen to my podcast and say, "Hey, if this dumbass Mark D can do a really unpopular podcast that no one listens to, then so can I."
You are my density. You are my density.
So I was taking a nap yesterday, Saturday, from 11 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. I didn't have the TV on for most of the day, so when I got up and showered and stuff, I put the news on. And of course, there was another school shooting. And yes, I know, the internet and mental illness and all this shit, no doubt, these are real issues, but we all know the real problem. And you remember Tipper Gore or whatever and all her bullshit about, "Oh, heavy metal music will destroy our youth," or seeing horror movies. All of that was like a, pardon the pun, smokescreen, when the real problem was the access and lethality of guns that was slowly increasing in the 1980s and 1990s, and there was seemingly an inflection point in 1999 with the Columbine High School shooting and the countless school shootings after that. But you know, good luck, man, because there may have been a time when we could have had some saner gun rules. But neither party has had the balls to do the right thing. Kids have died because of the bullshit and corruption and weakness in Washington, D.C. And I hope all of the senators and presidents and all these people are haunted on a daily basis by the screams of horrified children. Because in the end, it wasn't Iron Maiden or Freddy Krueger that kids had to fear. It was the real world nightmares brought to you by the likes of Ruger and Smith & Wesson. I was going to say Freddy Ruger, but that didn't really work. And whatever the motives of this latest shooting, rest assured that the fucking eyeliner-wearing, Botoxed-up, smug J.D. Vance will have some completely bogus take on it. J.D. Vance is a complete phony, second-rate wannabe intellectual. He sucks up to the other, even bigger assholes like Peter Thiel. And J.D. Vance is amorphous, man. He has no spine. He's fucking jelly. Other than that, he's great. And briefly mentioning Peter Thiel, you ever notice like all of the world's most annoying assholes in technology seem to emanate from Stanford University? Peter Thiel, Sam Altman, Elon Musk briefly, and a lot of these tech startups and venture capital places found their beginnings on Sand Hill Road, a 5.6-mile stretch of roadway between Palo Alto, Menlo Park, and Woodside. So just remember, everything awful comes from Stanford. And in the news, the troubled, haunted-looking actor Peter Green was found dead in his ground-floor apartment on Clinton Street in the Lower East Side of New York City. Peter Green had a long history of drug and alcohol abuse, but he'd been sober reportedly for a couple of years or so. And it is a bit of a strange story. I guess there was like loud Christmas music playing for a couple days from his apartment when they finally opened up the door. Peter was lying face down with blood and some kind of facial injury, along with a fucking weird handwritten note that said, "I'm still a Westie," which was the 1970s Irish-American gang that operated out of Hell's Kitchen. So let's see here. We will get some further details. But I'm thinking the likely possibility is that Peter Green just collapsed and probably fell down and smashed himself up. Did he relapse, or was it just the years of abuse that had caught up with him? I think he gave his age as 60, but I read the police determined he was actually 66 from records or some shit. And as far as the letter, I could see Peter Green having written that himself and just having it in his apartment. He was an eccentric guy. He was into some slightly off-the-wall conspiracy theories, but I was always a fan. The guy had charm and charisma, but there was a definite sense of danger about him. He was probably a handful to work with at times, but he seemed to me like he was just, you know, a genuine kind of fucked up guy who probably could be a great friend and the life of the party at times. But he was also the type of guy you didn't want to have as an enemy. And of course, we all know Peter Green from his role as Zed in Pulp Fiction, and he played the villain in the hit film The Mask from 1994, directed by Chuck Russell, who also did the great 1988 version of The Blob. The Mask famously starred the red hot at the time Jim Carrey and Cameron Diaz. Peter Green also played a scary motherfucker in The Rich Man's Wife from 1996 with Halle Berry. And I always had a sweet spot for the 1993 film Clean Shaven, the previously mentioned slow burn but gripping and realistic story of a schizophrenic played by a really touching Peter Green. So anyway, Nikki Catt, Michael Madsen, Peter Green, all my guys are dying lately. But rest in peace, all of you, and Peter Green, you were one of a kind. So I was sitting around the other day and I thought of a phrase that basically no one ever says. Hey, buddy, could you hand me my cummerbund? I mean, cummerbund is the fucking weirdest word ever. And I guess the phrase originated in India from the Persian Hindustani word kamarbond, meaning waistband. So there. And hey, another edition of Dude, This Movie Sucks. So I bought a DVD of the 2004 movie Riding the Bullet, based on a Stephen King novella. Jonathan Jackson plays a student who's in some kind of turmoil, and his mom, played by Barbara Hershey, suddenly has a stroke. So he hitchhikes to see her at the hospital, and he meets some people along the way, some living, some dead, and possibly Satan himself, played by David Arquette. So I was slightly impaired by watching this movie, but dude, I watched the whole thing, and I was like, what just happened? It's like one of those convoluted films that mixes reality and fantasy. And if you're not paying attention, then at some point you're like, okay, I have no idea what's going on anymore. I mean, the acting was pretty good. I don't know, maybe it's a decent movie, but I was lost. Okay, and another turkey, Black Phone 2, which I rented for $10. Ethan Hawke is back from the dead as the murderous grabber. He's tormenting a couple of kids in their dreams. It has a strong resemblance to the Nightmare on Elm Street films, but I found the whole thing kind of lame. There's all kind of these like random short segments of like dreams or just like overly arty imagery, trying to be all dark and spooky, but feeling more like the fake ass flashy horror along the lines of like a dumbass Marilyn Manson video or some bullshit from Nine Inch Nails. Jeremy Davies also pops up in this movie as the kid's dad. Man, he's looking old. But yeah, I mean, Black Phone 2, it's not like the worst thing out there, but it's just nothing special. And slowly wrapping up here, I do enjoy reading a well-written obituary. And, you know, I'm consciously kind of writing my own obituary as I'm living. Luckily, I'm able to make tweaks and additions as I grow older. It's like, okay, I've had a lot of setbacks and struggles, but, you know, there's some undeniable successes in there. And while we're alive, there's always possibilities, you know? And some of the kids I work with are, in quotes, in love with someone. You know, they think like that other person gives them worth or meaning, and they're useless if they lose that person. And I know it's difficult, but ultimately you only have to be worthy to yourself. You never know what's going on with other people, and yes, we all want friends and hopefully lovers, but at the end of the day, you can only count on yourself. Don't try and be the icon of others. Be an icon to yourself. You can be noble and decent, even if it seems like no one cares or no one notices you. You can live with some integrity, and at the end of the day, you can look yourself in the mirror, give yourself a knowing wink, and say, who loves you, baby?